Last week was my first time getting to share with you as your pastor. We started talking about the vision and the mission that makes up who we are as the Bridge. I really felt like it was important that we go back to who we are, that we understand that so that we can function out of who we are. And so in that, we find out why we exist and how we get to that purpose that God has for us. We went over our vision statement, and I'm going to read it here again. Our vision statement, if you go on our website, our vision statement says, "We exist so that people far from God will encounter him and experience the life that only Jesus offers." That statement is why we do what we do. So if you have a question about why we're doing something, the answer should be always so that people far from God will encounter him and experience the life that only Jesus offers. And our mission statement is how we plan to get that done. It's who we are uniquely as the Bridge. And the mission statement off of our website says, "Taking you from where you are to where you want to be. We desire to be a center point for our community, to provide a place where we can experience a life-changing God, worship him, and get equipped to be the change that we long to see." Now, many of you have probably seen, if you've seen our website or seen our Bridge t-shirts, I know Scott was wearing one this morning, the three words on the back that are also part of who we are. They're part of our mission statement. It's the how we help people far from God encounter him and experience the life that Jesus offers. So those three words are belonging, believing, and becoming. And last week we focused on the first of those words. We talked about belonging. So we looked in Ecclesiastes and we found that we belong together because two people are better off than one, so that they can help each other succeed, to care for each other, and then, if necessary, stand back to back so that we can conquer the things that come against us. We talked about how the lost and broken people belong here because at one point we were all lost, and that it's God's desire that everyone would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth of who he is. And finally, we finished last week by talking about how we belong in this community. It's not an accident that we are here at this time in history. It's not an accident that we are here between Coburg and Eugene. And it's not an accident that we're part of this church. God chose us to be in this place at this time, and his desire is to send us out to be the workers that bring in the harvest. The harvest is plentiful with people that need to know him right here and right now. So today, we're going to move to the next of the three words, which is believing. We have belonging, believing, and becoming. So you'll probably be able to figure out what we're going to talk about next week. But for this week, we're going to talk about believing. And this is what it says right from our mission statement on our website under believing. Believing, the love of God changes lives. No matter who you are or where you've come from, the message of Jesus is all about God's love for you. And as we grow in what we believe, we connect to God through Bible teaching, prayer, and worship. We will experience the transforming power of Christ's love in our lives. Now, I can't just read that statement and not take a moment to think about, have you guys think about what that is. It kind of just hits me when I really think about what it is that says. God's love that he offers to us freely changes lives. He offers it to us freely, and it changes lives. His love is true and perfect, and it changes us. It changes my life, and it changes your life. It moves us toward the purpose that we were created for. It moves us toward wholeness. It moves us toward freedom, and it moves us toward him. God's love is at the very core of what we believe, that he loves us. And practically speaking, what that looks like is Bible teaching. It's about his love. Prayer, we come to him because he loves us. And worship, we worship him because he loves us. In those three things, we encounter God's love and come to know him better. And my prayer is that we would always be a church actively connecting with God through Bible teaching, prayer, and worship. And that we would experience the transforming power of Christ's love in our lives. And that that would always be what the Bridge is about. So, why is that important? Why is it important to know what we believe? So we're going to dig into that a little bit. Because in these days, we're not the only ones that is on a mission. The enemy is also on a mission. And his mission, as it's stated in John 10:10, which we've heard many times before, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. Now, we are believers, saved by grace, and the enemy doesn't get to have our souls because God has those. However, we can choose to partner with God to be the number one defense against the enemy's tactics in this world. And I would even go a step further to say that we can be the number one offense in this world to take back what the enemy has stolen, to build what the enemy is trying to destroy, and to bring God's life-giving love to what the enemy would kill. These are the three things that I want to share today that the enemy uses as tactics on his mission in this world. They are deception, distraction, and division. So first, we're going to talk about deception. Now, Satan is a liar. In fact, in the Word of God, he is referred to as the father of lies. He's the guy that the lies come from. If you look in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, this is Jesus talking, when he lies, he's talking about the devil, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1, if you want to go there, we're going to read that, few verses here. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, way back in the Garden of Eden, the very beginning of time, the enemy was already on his mission, and he told Eve it wasn't a big deal to disobey God's directive, that God was holding out on her, and so right from the beginning, he was already trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he began with Eve, who walked and talked with God, he most certainly would continue those same tactics with us. He's the voice that tells you that you have made choices that make God turn his back on you. He's the voice that tells you that you're broken beyond repair, that there's nothing that we can do, that you are unlovable, or that God's plan doesn't include you because you're insignificant. And those lies keep us stuck in a place that we find ourselves settling. We settle for the way things are. We settle for brokenness. We stop praying for healing. We've talked about that before. And settle for sickness. We think that maybe God isn't going to do what we want to pray, what we're praying for, because if he did, he would have done it already. And so we stop. It just holds us short of God's fullness of his love and the fullness of all that he may want to do in our lives. So even our prayer life becomes complacent. But that's not God's truth. The truth is, God is a God of restoration. He's a God of healing, and he is a God of wholeness. How do we stand in that truth? By being in the Word, times of prayer, and worship. those same things that we as a body of Christ and as a church in this community are all about. We combat the lies by being soaked in the truth, by walking this life together with those who know that truth and can and the freedom that comes from believing God's word, so that we can spur one another on and we can encourage each other in that truth. Now I want to talk about that second tactic of the enemy, distraction. Now distraction is one of those things that we can get caught up in and not really even realize that it is something that the enemy would want to use in our lives. And here's why that is. Because we as believers and many good people in this world are not necessarily drawn to becoming mass murderers. We're not necessarily drawn to become a thief or the most obvious of what we would consider to be an evil behavior. We will be more drawn to things that may seem right, that seem right, good or even wise, but are contrary to God's wisdom. And we see this discussed in Scripture in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, where it says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." There's a way that seems right to us, and yet it still leads us to death. That means that what's truly good is not always clear to our natural way of thinking. And we can see that so much right now in this country. We can see that so much. It's not horrible. It sounds good. But is it what God would say? Because everyone's looking for a cause to take up, people to defend, a way to stand up for what's right. But is it God's wisdom that we're looking for? Is it his cause that we're standing up for? Some of those causes that people are standing up for right now are not God causes, and they are distractions from what God would be having us do right now, to reach people for him. So how do we know which causes are the right ones? We have to know what God says about them. We need to rely on God's wisdom that we find in his word, in our times of prayer, and that are revealed in worship. We need to get close to the Father's heart. We can't be people quick to take up arms. We need to be people quick to seek God and his promptings, and quick to be obedient. When the whole world seems chaotic with emotional responses, we have to have God's view on things. We have to love people the way that he does. And the only way that we can do that is to be pursuers of his presence and keep our eyes fixed on him. God showed me a picture one time of a lighthouse, and because we were talking about that we are to be the light on a hill, city on a hill, you know, that we're, you know, to shine his light. And we always think of the light keepers who have to wash the windows. And you may not have, but I've always thought of how, you know, they get up in the little circle part and they're washing the windows and everything. And in a sense, that is us making sure that we are doing the right things, being, you know, that we are ready to project God's light. But the Lord showed me that there's another side to the window. We need to go outside of our own minds and our own ideas of what is right and make sure that we are allowing his light to come in, so that the light that we are sharing with the people around us is pure. And that is washing the outside of the window, allowing him to come in through times in the word, through prayer, through worship, to purify our hearts, to right our minds, so that we can be reflecting his light. We need to believe. We need to believe God. We need to believe his word. We need to believe what he says about himself. And we need to believe what he says about us. And what he says about our part that we have in these days that we're living in, if you are in this room alive right now, he has a part for you to play in this world. And one more thing about the importance of not allowing the enemy to distract us. We rarely go on these little rabbit trails alone. Usually, if we're going somewhere, we're taking someone along with us. And if you're, even if you're not taking someone with you, or if you are, you're being an example of who God's people are supposed to be. And we need to take responsibility for that. We need to actually look at our lives and say, okay, if the people looking at me stood up for what I'm standing up for right now, can I be confident that they're standing for the right things? Not just something that sounds good, but the things that God stands for, the things that he would have us stand for. So I would encourage each one of you to take a look at your life. Are you standing for what God would want you to stand for? Have you stopped to take it to him to find out? And then one more question about that. Do the distractions that get you come when you're waiting on him? And I know you probably know what I'm talking about. Because if you've ever sat and tried to be quiet with the Lord, and then all of a sudden all these other things pop up, it's like, oh, my brain's going here, and then my brain's going here, and I'm like, I'm just trying to read the Bible right now, and there's, you know, so many distractions. We need to deal with that. We need to get focused in. It happens a lot. And you know, I have my set Bible time, and I go to that Bible time, and if I don't do it right first thing in the morning, the whole day is yelling at me while I'm trying to read the word. Everything that I am supposed to do, everything that, you know, my kids are doing, everything that's happening is yelling at me when I'm trying to be quiet before the Lord. We just got to figure that part out. Find out how you need to block those distractions. Find the time. Our time is short on this earth. We don't have time to mess around. We can't waste our time. I know I've shared this before, but there's a time when I was really just struggling with that distraction thing. And the Lord, if you ask the Lord how to deal with that, he will show you. And the way that he showed me was, and it's going to be different for everyone, but I had to actually kneel down facing my couch so that I wasn't looking in the room, kneel down and picture myself at the foot of the throne of God. And I could see the base of the chair. I could see his lap. I could see his hands sitting there. And I had to focus on and just ask, Lord, what do you have for me? Like, I had to focus on that so that my mind was busy focusing on something. And then I was able to just hear from him. And so ask the Lord. Ask the Lord what it is that will combat those distractions. Because we can beat ourselves up and go, oh, yeah, I tried to read my Bible this morning and it just didn't work. Or I tried to pray and I got distracted or whatever. But God cares about those things. Those deal directly with your relationship with him. And so if you're struggling with that, I would really encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to do to get focused in on you? And then try and not be distracted long enough to hear what he has to say. No. but it matters to the Lord. We need to take those things to him. Now, we've talked about deception and distraction. And a lot of times the enemy will use deception and distraction to cause our third point, which is division. Division among believers is a real thing. Our way seems right, and a lot of times we feel the need to make sure that everybody knows that we are right. And pretty soon, we are forgetting to give grace and forgiveness, and instead, we allow division to come in. And here's how that plays to the enemy's advantage. If we are fighting against each other, we're doing his job for him. If we're fighting each other and allowing division, the enemy can just sit back because we're doing his job for him. We are being distracted, and we're focusing on us and what we need, and God has a bigger plan than that. And we don't want to give anything to the enemy. We don't want to help him out a bit with anything that he's trying to do. It keeps us from what we're supposed to be doing. And most times, division is rooted in pride. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So if the enemy is bent on destroying us, pride is definitely the place he would start. I'm right. I'm right. It's time that we humble ourselves and spend more time listening to each other. We're on the same team. We belong together, and pride can't be a part of that. And if you're wondering if your way is God's way, go to the Word. In fact, go to the Word together. If you're arguing about something and you're feeling that division come in, like, let's go to the Word. Remember that you're on the same team. The Lord showed me that once in my marriage, actually, that we need to be looking at it as though we are a football team on the line, but we're on the same side. A lot of times I think we think, you know, when we're arguing, it's like, oh, you know, we're going to butt heads. And it's like, actually, this is a fight that we need to fight together against what the enemy is trying to do. Go to people that are more mature in the faith if you are wondering, if you're doubting things about the Word of God, if you're struggling with something, if you're feeling that distraction or division, go to people that are more mature in the faith. Work together to become passionate about believing God's truth. I knew of a young lady once who I went to church with years and years and years ago. And none of you would know her, but years and years ago. And she grew up in the church, and she came to a place in her life where she was really starting to doubt what she was being taught. She doubted what the Word of God says. She doubted if she believed the Word of God. And so she decided she was going to get to the bottom of it. And so she went out into the world and started asking people. And now I believe she's a Jehovah's Witness, and she doesn't believe anything that her family does. It grieves my heart, and I know it grieves the Father's heart, that people that are part of the body of Christ don't feel that they can go to each other and work things out. Seek out answers in the Word of God together. We need to be a body dedicated to each other. Dedicated to each other. The people in this room, you need to be dedicated to them. You need to be willing to hear something that sounds completely off. We need to be willing to say, I don't know that I believe that. If you want to know what God would say, or you want to understand something about the Word, or understand, like, if you really believe something, God's not afraid of that. He's not afraid of that. In fact, I think every single person has to come to a place in their life, and we saw this a lot and we talked about it a lot in youth, where we have to come to a place where we figure out our own faith. It can't be the faith of just the people around us. The days are getting harder and harder to find out what is right and what is wrong because there's so much going on. We have to find out our faith. We have to walk out our faith. And God put us in this body so that we could do it together. So let's be a body that is dedicated to each other in that. Knowing what you believe will keep you guarded against all of those things. Deception, distraction, and division. And when you're walking in the truth of the Word of God, deception has no foothold in your life. When you prioritize understanding the Word of God, you don't get distracted by things that draw you away from God's good. And finally, when we walk humbly in unity and determine in our hearts to be in unity together, division has no place in our lives, and we are unified. So, what is it that we believe? I want to read this to you. And this is what we believe. Number one, we believe the Word of God. We believe what it says about God and what it says about us. We believe that the Bible was inspired by God and written by man, and it's not only a book that contains the words of God, it is the Word of God. It is living and active and relevant to us today. Whatever we go through in life, the Word of God can speak to it, even though it was written centuries ago. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. We believe that there is one God, and that God is made up of three persons in unity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in every way, fulfilling different but complementary roles. We believe God the Father is our sovereign, all-powerful creator that loves us so much that he made a way to fix the problem of sin that we started. God is the co-creator with the Son and the Holy Spirit, who is eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and unchanging. We believe that God the Son, Jesus, walked on this earth, put aside his godness, and sacrificed himself to bridge the gap that sin created between us and our perfect God. We believe that God the Holy Spirit entered this world to be God's voice in us, reminding us of who we are and who God is. We believe that although God is beyond our total understanding, he is completely personal and allows us to experience him today. We believe that we were created for a purpose. Do you believe that you were created for a purpose? We were created with a purpose, for a purpose with a free will, and because God's sacrifice, it is our choice to live eternally with him or eternally separate from him. We believe that the church as a whole, as well as individual churches, are important to spur one another on in our faith as well as reach the lost. We believe one day Christ will return to judge men and take all believers to live with God for all eternity, and all people who do not believe will spend eternity separated from God in hell. This is what we believe. Even just that last one, that we get to go spend eternity with God in heaven, and people that are separated from him are forever separated from him in hell. That right there stirs me up. Lord, put us on mission that we would help people to know you, that we would help people to find you. This is who we are. This is what we believe. You need to know what you believe. I had the chance to go through the Discover Ministry School. I know we've talked about it here quite often, and I actually ended up being credentialed through there. But that was the most beautiful thing. I grew up in the church. I took a lot of things on faith. Like, I just believed. And to go back and be able to sit with the Word and kind of wrestle with it and figure out what I believe. And then at the end of that class to write my own I believe statement, this is what I believe. And I could say it with confidence, and I have that firm foundation of knowing what I believe, and I can stand on that. You all need to do that. We all need to do it. Not just taking somebody else's faith, but making it your own. Like, what is your faith? What has God shown you? What do you believe about him? Know what you believe. Find out what needs to be firmed up in your faith, in your belief, and doing it, and do it by reading the word and with people that can help you out along on that journey. And then I'm going to end today just with I did this with the youth group my last week as youth pastor a couple weeks ago. I would just really encourage you, and I would challenge you to sit down and write out where you think those places are in your faith. What things are you just kind of, Here's the thing. The enemy is on his mission to steal, kill, and destroy. He's on his mission already. We need to know what we believe. Find out those places. Find out those things. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know if I believe this. Write it out. And then make an appointment and go talk with somebody. Somebody who's further along in the faith than you are, maybe that you look up to or that you can, that you can share with and be real with. And then work those things out. The Lord's not afraid of that. In fact, I believe with all my heart that the Lord welcomes that. Does that sound good? Let's figure it out, because we can't be off just a little. If you're off just a little bit in what you're standing for and what you're believing in, down the road, you're going to be over here. And this world and this enemy that is up against us would love that. And we're not going to give him any of that. Would you stand with me?